You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 29. Jeremiah and chapter 29. And in our exercise of thinking and moving through Jeremiah, the Israelites are reminded in chapter 29, verse 10, that their captivity isn't, their judgment being in Babylon is not according to Babylon, it's not according to the kings of Israel, it's according to God for the seven Sabbath years they didn't do. Every seventh year was to be a rest, R-E-S-T. That's an awesome thing, and they just didn't do it. What was so awesome about it? Well, they didn't have to grow, plant, do anything. God would completely provide for them 365 days using our calendar. That's what you do. They don't have to do anything for a whole year. And that was to remind themselves that God took care of them. But they just didn't do it. So the 70 years are going to be passing. And in the process, all the false prophets, priests, and all the people lining up with kind dates and reasonings of why things happen and how they happen and how they're going to work out. All of that was busy, busy, busy by the people, and it is today. And so here we are looking in chapter 29, and God tells them, as we share together this place, the end of verse 10, God is going to send them back to Jerusalem. And verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then, when you're back in that place, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. And remember, they're going to rebuild the temple with Zerubbabel and all of that. And pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So, in Babylon, they were told they could seek God and God would be found. But not too many people looked for God to be found. And being in Babylon, and remember the Israelites, their problem, they got tied up into and with idolatry. They wanted to be like the world. They became like the world. So therefore, being out of Jerusalem wasn't such a terrible thing after all, because Babylon is a much more commercial, cosmopolitan city. And most of them that ended up in Babylon stayed there. And in the process, only 50,000 went back the first time, back to Jerusalem. And so therefore, they are not too interested in leaving Babylon. So therefore, God says you're going to have to leave those that want to, and they're going to travel the whole journey from Jerusalem over to, from Babylon over to Jerusalem. And that, just think, when you think of that, just think how travel, we think of speed. But when they traveled back then, they would travel probably at a plus or minus guess, working at things. They would travel from Babylon to Jerusalem, 900 miles. That's a long way. That's like from Boston to Florida, 900 miles. That's a long way, lots of people just walking. They weren't riding on camels or something. And wow, so it's a journey. You have to make a commitment to that journey. They've been living in Babylon 70 years. So all of the homes, the background, everything has to be left to go. So that was an awesome move for them to go. So now when they're going, God reminds them that they need to be seeking God. The trouble is, in Babylon, you have everything. In the world, is the world seeking God? No. Because as long as, especially in an industrial country like ours or that, we have everything. There's enough peanut butter. There's enough bread. There's enough gasoline. We have a roof over our head. There's no need really to seek too much because we have everything. And whatever we don't have, we'll move around and manipulate to manage to get it. That's what we're going to do. So in the process, that's that they just aren't going to seek God. Now, some did. Some thought about God. And Ezekiel was there to remind them about God in Babylon. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that, so their reality, verse 13, you shall seek me, you shall find me. And the word you shall seek, and it's intensive, the verb is, to do so diligently, a return to reality, to seek, to search out, to do so with, to examine, to persevere, to search something, to find something, with perseverance, diligent, persistence. And that's what they would do. And they would do that. That's what they would do in Jerusalem and thereafter. So going back there, having said that, and that they are to be reminded, in Hebrews 11:6 for us and them, that the Lord, it is impossible to please God, for without faith it's impossible to please God, and they that seek God, in the New Testament, seek diligently, roll up your sleeves and seek. They that seek God shall find him. And they that search for him diligently, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And God is going to do that. So God, they're encouraged. Why are they living like they do? They aren't caught up in the Babylonian system. They're headed back to Jerusalem because God is there. And in the process, they need to find God. And Babylon, to say it easily, Babylon isn't Jerusalem. No matter how you cut the cookie, Babylon can never be Jerusalem, as we shared last time. Never. And no other city in the world can there be peace. There must be peace in Jerusalem before there's peace in the world. So there can't be any. So all the cities, if we move over to here, you'll pay less taxes and do this. All of that's there. But there is no replacement of God. And to do it another way, darkness. Darkness is never light. No matter how much you want to talk about it, whatever, darkness never becomes light. Darkness is darkness. It's without light. And so if we're going to go living a life, seeking a life, existence, earthly, without God, we have a living. We live. We have existence. There's no question. But we don't have life. So when we're all done, we don't have any life, no. And when we go by, like they were doing, all those false hopes and all of the dreams and aspirations and maneuverings to move through another year, another day, all of that is there. But there's never any good expectation. Because all our hopes and all our dreams and all our maneuvering, we can't find a good outcome. We just can't find it. Communists can't find it. Socialists can't find it. You can't find it. There's none there. Oh, it's going to be the Islam. Oh, there's no hope. There's no good outcome. None. So having said that and keeping that in mind, so here they are. And to seek God, and by the way, I'll do it, well, lest I lose it here. Would you please note, if I can, in verse 13, you shall seek me, find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Me. God, is there any other? Is there any other solution? Is there any other maneuver? No, there isn't. The world has 1,000 maneuvers. But God, no, you're the only one, and there's no other way. You've got to seek me with all your heart. I'm the only one. Now hang on. Having said that, go over with me, please, just to do it a little differently so you see it, a baby. In Israel was to seek God, and without turning there, well, you can just for the exercise, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you would recall God had told them what was going to be and how it was going to be long before. Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, please. Oh, and remember now, verse 27, 4 and 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, Assyria, Babylon, and all of that. And you shall be left few in number among the heathen, Gentiles, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. That's why there's no hope. What are you going to find in Babylon? Well, you're going to find a whole lot of world system stuff. You're not going to find God. Therefore, verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek me, there's your little verb, seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him. If thou seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, and you seek him. Well, what do we need to wake us up? Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, not only in Jeremiah, but in the tribulation, even in the latter days, if thou wilt turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So when are they're going to have to go through what happens. Hang on to that thought. Because we're like, think of what we did Sunday, and we're trying to work through and enjoy being saved. Now, over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and chapter 13. And remember, if you seek God with all your heart, well, and remember now, we didn't take time to do it, but it would have been helpful. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, at the Ten Commandments, God said the problem with Israel at the very beginning, verse 29, they have no heart for God. That's their problem. If you seek me with all your heart, they had no heart for God. All the way down the line. Busy in the temple and out, but often no heart for God. So, now God, you use the tribulation and all of these things to awaken the heart, and he does. So, God, and they wanted a king to be like, as you know, to be like the other nations, and God gave him King Saul, etc. Now, in the process, God reminded, by way of Samuel, verse 14, Chapter 13, verse 14, you're familiar with it. And now thy kingdom shall not continue, Saul's. The Lord has sought him, sought to seek, to find. The Lord has sought him a man, and the qualifications that God was looking for was after his, God's heart, his own heart. God was looking for somebody that seek God with all his heart. That's what he wanted. It's a relationship. And that's what, and so I found a man, verse 14, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over this people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So God, it's about the heart. That's right. It isn't about the brains or the IQ or something. It's about the heart. Where's the heart? Well, I'm committed. Is it your heart? Well, no. See, it's got to be the heart. That's what sustains. So now, chapter 16, might as well, we're right there. And you know, in God choosing the man, just so it's consistent in your thinking, chapter 16, 1 Samuel, remember all the seven sons of Jesse, etc. And in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, his face, the appearance, the height, nor the height of his stature. Why? Because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, how things look, that's how we evaluate. But the Lord looketh on the heart. And that's where God looks. And that's why David, God found a man after his own heart. And there's David. Now hang on, here's David. Now, having said that, if we're going to stay with that little thought, David, and we just read that tribulation is there to get us to seek God. And God allows the Babylonian, Assyrian, and the great tribulation coming up, all of those things to happen. And in our lives, all kinds of tribulation, we have to go through them in order to, what? Be seeking God. Now we're caught up. We're caught up, as we shared on Sunday, in that. Here's our old nature. That's where you live in it. You live with yourself. How's that? You live with yourself 24 hours a day. That's who you live with. And that's an old nature, and there's no way in me dwelleth no good thing, etc. O wretched man that I am, and all of those things. So that's us. When we get saved, what changes? Your old nature didn't change. Was that still there? That's your old nature. You inherited it from Adam, your father and mother, grandfather, and etc. So God, what are we inheriting? We inherit. It doesn't say when you receive a new nature, etc. As many as received him, John 1:12. It's a person. What did we just read in Jeremiah 29:13? Seek me, seek me, seek me, me. Me, 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 me. God doesn't have any other alternative, because there is no other alternative to God. So therefore, over to Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, and here's David. And what do we know? David, help us some more. How did this all work out? Whether you sought God with all your heart, and he did, and God took him and used him in a most wonderful way. And David had to learn what? To walk with God. So therefore, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God? David, you are quite right, invincible in God. That's correct. Verse 3, sliding for time. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why not? Though war, that's pretty big, should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What is sustaining you, David? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. There's your little verb. That will I seek after. Why? That I may dwell, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What are you doing there? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David, you're very positive. You're on a high. You're encouraged. You're stimulated. Your hopes are set up in front of you and you're going down the corridor. That's right. Now, and verse 5. And in the time of trouble, God will take care of him. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, tent. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. God is just going to wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But David, that's you're on the positive side. You're running. But David, you understand what? You understand what? In all of that, I'm trusting God. I trust God. Look to God. Thank God. I'm on a plus side, looking to God. But you know, 10 minutes from now, something could happen. And the plus side became negative. We thought we were doing good, everything was going good, but then it isn't. And think of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Why did it, you know it, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. No, you don't, you do. Hold your finger right here, coming right back here, over Ezekiel, Ecclesiastes. You know what, it's just good to look at it, I guess. If I can find it. And I look at chapter 3. Picking up, please. And you will please note, now Solomon found this out in a very exercised way. Chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc., etc. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, etc., etc., etc. Sliding down, verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rent, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, I think, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Now, why did you do that, God? That's our life. When you get saved, that's still your life. The difference is, Ecclesiastes is looking at it without God. Without, when you leave God out, how do you handle life on earth? And you got 12 chapters to tell you. But when there is God, when there is God. Now God, that's our old nature. We get saved and the Lord saved you. So hang on. And I'll read verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he labored? In other words, you try to get through life week to week, everything, and you do up and down and positive and negative and all of that we shed. And that's what we do. Things, one good, bad, up, down, easy, hard, much, little. Verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise. It isn't an exercise that you would choose. It's an exercise that God requires to awaken the heart. If everything was one way, then it's one way. But But God made it so that what? Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful, useful in his time, also useful, beautiful. He also has set the world, eternity, in their heart. In other words, we aren't a squirrel, and we aren't a dog. We're just a human, a wonderful, wonderful human. And we know there's a future. And dogs and cats and canaries, they don't have that. When you step on an ant, the ant didn't say, oh, my future's ended. He just never thought about the future. But for the believing Lot, that's our trouble, because we face death, and that's what we're facing. Now, verse 11 again. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So God, you let all of these things happen to us so that we stay awake. What? Up, down, easy, hard, much, little. I don't need God. Oops, I do need God. I have a lot. Oops, I don't have a lot. Everything works. Oops, it doesn't work. You see, I feel good. Oops, I don't feel good. All over. Ah. To keep you on the toes, on your toes, on your toes. Why? So that you'd seek God. Seek God. Back over to David. Psalm 27. Now, having said that, God uses all of that. Psalm 27, where your finger was. Picking up, please, in the light, God takes care of him. He's on a high. But David, in the very moment you're lifting up your heart in triumph to God, the next thing you understand, and you do, David, that's what we do. To understand what? At any moment, a high can become low. And what seems wonderful can disappear. And therefore, believers become sensitive. Like Job said, should not God supply good and evil? Trouble. To what? Otherwise, you'll not get saved. You're going to seek God in your trouble. Now watch. David makes an awesome, wonderful transition. Sliding down to verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye, there's your little verb, seek ye my face, my heart, which David gave to God, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, David, you understand it can be great today, but not tomorrow. Verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. David, what did you understand? It could all disappear. What I'm excited about in my mind and heart right now could vanish. And the moment I chose looking to God, and the next moments, if I don't keep looking to God, I lose it. It's all gone. All gone. Hope, excitement, yay, all gone. Just like that. Wow. Now, so having said that, David said, I know I can do up and down. And I understand, God, I'm going to seek you. What do you do when you're all down, and it's negative, and that your old nature and all of these things are happening up and down within the heart and outside in the world? You got to what? Seek God. Seek God with all your heart. That's what you're going to do. Why? Because you got to get back on the square. I'm going to do this up here for the, here's the foundation up here. And in the process, here's the, up where we're resting. And that's where we need to rest. When you get saved, the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3 and 12, is none other than God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. And you're resting on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's solid, solid ground. What does it save you from? Your old nature and all the world, all sin and all of these things. It saves you, like you said, shared on Sunday. It saves you from all. So you can be here. But as long as you stay here, everything out here is all the same. Nothing's changed out here. Country, friend, enemy, city, hour, your refrigerator hasn't changed. Everything, it's the same. So as long as you're here, you can handle out here, because it's all the same. But in a moment of time, we could slip off, like over here. I'm not here anymore. That's what we do in our personalities. That's what we do for saved people. We do this. Now, listen, we should be here. We should have stayed here. But for whatever reasons, we got over here. And now we're off. And what do we need to do? Recover. We need to get back on as quickly as possible. If we confess our sin, etc., he's faithful and just to forgive, to get back. Don't linger. The quicker you get back, the better. You say, I don't deserve to get back. It isn't a question you deserve anything. No one does. Christ died for us. We aren't waiting for deserving, or I should be guilty. I should get whipped for a while. No, get back on here. And if we don't do that, then we stay here and go through whatever. And the day will have to come somewhere, hopefully, we get back on here. But the trouble is, the more we live here, the less you'll ever understand this. Because you don't understand victory. You don't understand being set free. You aren't enjoying being forgiven. You need to enjoy being forgiven. That's what you need to do. Forgiven, period. So David, are you going to recover? Yes, he is. Verse 13. I had fainted. I would have literally failed unless I had believed to see this goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Seek God with all your heart. He'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. So David, you're helping us understand. David is just like us. Just he was a bit long time ago. And just like us. And he helps us. So having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would now to Psalm 23. And hold your finger right here and go over to Jeremiah and chapter 6. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, you will note, may I go directly to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And what is going to happen? You'll find rest for your souls. That's all. Get back on the back up here, back on the foundation. Get back here. Don't get over here. Get back here. The quicker you get back here, you'll find rest. You'll find your resources. You're going to go over here? If you're looking to out of your own heart, you're never going to get it because you don't know, you know, got it in you. It's just not going to be there. No matter how you find it, you won't find it because it's in your own nature. It just isn't findable. It's like trying to find righteousness. Trying to find the righteousness that pleases God and honors God and saves you in and of yourself. And you don't have enough lifetime and enough anything. Because you can never find it. There is no righteousness in us at all. Now, over to Jeremiah chapter 6. And the end of verse 16. But they said, we will not walk therein. So all they had to do is return and seek the Lord. But they didn't return and seek the Lord. So that's why they spent 70 years in captivity. And that's why most of them are going to stay in Babylon. And they're not going back to Jerusalem. They're not going back. Too costly. We got too much stuff and everything. Chapter 6, Jeremiah. And may I go continue. Verse 17. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken, listen, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. God's trying to warn them. But they said, we are not going to hearken, we're not going to listen. Verse 18. Therefore, said God, if you aren't going to listen, he turns around to the whole world. Therefore, hear ye nations, and that's why all the nations can walk all over Israel, seemingly. The nations don't see Israel as God, as God's people. They just don't. Anti-Semitism, etc. Now, so therefore, in chapter 6 of Jeremiah, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, which is among them. Everyone, all you guys living in Syria and Afghanistan, wherever you want, know this. Hear, O earth, if they won't listen, the heavens and the earth. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Why? Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They just wouldn't get back to where I told them to. Seek me, find me with all your heart. They just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. Psalm 23. What didn't they do that David did? And you know it. Psalm 23. And just to get the flavor of it. So what did David do? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside still waters. That's wonderful quiet tranquility. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then, remember what we spent time on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So David, Israel, you didn't get it. No, you didn't get it. You ended up in the captivity and to seek the Lord with all your heart. God just wanted you to get back on good foundation. That's all it was. It wasn't a trick, anything. Just get back where you did. You're believing God, trusting God, looking to God. So that's what you had to get back to doing. So in doing that and keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Now God, when you said, seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. And that's a commitment of God. You can't seek God with all your heart without finding him. That's the rule. But I seek God half-heartedly, I don't find him. I pray to God with all your heart. I don't. Were you seeking God to leave everything else to seek God? And the next word in verse 13 of chapter 29:13, search for me when you search diligently. And that word, search, to seek, is to roll up your sleeves and take something and pulverize it to find the little something in it. To pulverize, to tear it apart, to find the smallest thing. You search for me like that. Mean business with me. David sought me with all his heart. But I did. I prayed. I read. I read three verses. I even read three books. Did you search for me with all your heart? I know. No. You were going to have a discussion with me after I got done, maybe. But God isn't interested in discussions. He's interested in you believing. That's what he wants. So, Isaiah 45. Picking up, if I may. In Isaiah 45, I'll go to verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That purpose they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside thee, beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. I do all these things. Now, verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Sliding down. If I can, verse 17. Verse 15. Verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. So God, we need to be looking to you in Isaiah's day, etc. Verse 17. But Israel shall be saved, verse 17, in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. 4, 18. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He didn't do it for nothing. He formed it to be inhabited. That's why you don't have to look for people on Pluto or some other place. Oh, this is it. To be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, like we're reading in Jeremiah, seek me with all your heart. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek, there's your verb, seek me, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God said, listen, when I say seek me with all your heart, that's what I mean. And when I say, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And I mean that. I didn't say those words for nothing. That's a wonderful thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it is a payer in reward, payer in full of those that diligently seek him. Payer in full.